Hi, this is the Dark Tangent. The speech you're about to listen to is recorded at DEF CON 4 at the Monte Carlo Casino and Resort, freshly built in 1996. Copyright, all right reserves, except permission is expressly granted for non-profit educational use. Now sit back and relax. If you have any questions, please contact me at dtangent@defcon.org or visit our website, www.defcon.org. Thank you, and kick back and relax.
And it's you have to excuse me here, I'm losing my voice. I've been talking for the last 3 days straight. This is the Hack Alive project. A good portion of you that are on DC stuff will be familiar with this project and know where we're coming from a little bit. There'll be a lot of people that are new to this. So I want to introduce that everyone introduce themselves to who they are. As I said, I'm Seven.
I'm TQDB. Disorder.
I'm Jackal.
The DEF CON mailing list frequently is a place you'll find the latest press stories being posted from papers around the country. And people comment on extensively on how much the hack community is getting a bad rap. And they want to whine and complain and follow that avenue, and I basically challenged everyone one day, let's do something about it, and received a much larger group than this that's still active, they're not all here, that have worked on a Hack Alive project. We came out in the paper last night, DEF CON did, not us, the Las Vegas Review Journal, said this Monday morning, this Sunday's paper. Last paragraph said, one FBI agent said, few attendees are doing anything criminal. A small percentage of them give the rest a bad name. The term hacker is not necessarily derogatory. This is from the FBI. And we love it. It's something we're not used to. It's also reality. This is what we're really like. The public perception of us would be we're natural born enemies. That was on
1B.
First page and continued on the fourth. This was reality here. This is something now that people that we're going to read in the story's paper today are going to go, whoa, the FBI saying this about hackers. What our mission statement is we want to develop a press package, in a sense, of telling, aimed at the media as the source of distribution of information for the public, so we'll also reach the public, about who hackers really are, who we are combined as a group, that we're not all 15-year-old nerds hiding behind computers in their lives, playing Doom and breaking into systems and stealing things. Who we are, what drives us, where we come from, the positive things that have come out of the hacking community. And instead of getting, when we hear the press only wants to cover bad material, that's not. I've done an enormous amount of press interviews this weekend, and by volunteering positive information and concrete examples of some of the things hackers have done positive, they were fascinated by that and wanted to know more, and it word spread around. We got a lot of press. The press does want to hear positive things. It's just not all necessarily negative. You just got to be prepared for it. Hack the Lies is here to put together this press packet. Kind of something they could read before they write their next story, maybe get them to think about it a little bit before they go out there and write the next Markov-style article. And give us a chance at a fair shake, and we get a little bit fairer shake than we would have normally have gotten. We want to develop this with the hacking community. We don't want to be five guys spewing their opinions. So we've come to DEF CON to basically let the hacking community know, and as word gets around that there is a project to work on, that we don't want to speak for everyone here, that we want the comments, suggestions, improvements, ideas of everyone in the hacking community, no matter who you are, what your motivations are. Anything that you feel you can contribute to this document, you're more than welcome to send to us, which I'll read you the email address. We plan to put this document together and hold a big formal press conference prior to DEF CON next year. We have a professional press agent who's done very well so far in getting us a lot of press coverage now. We see on, as over this weekend, we see on televisions all over the country and a lot of major magazines. So we do have a market to expose this. We're not just releasing this on Usenet and saying that's it. It's going to get all over the place. What we want to do is, like, we're here to get the comments and suggestions and ideas that you may have that we may have overlooked to put into this document, and give a big press conference next year, introduce them to Hack the Lies in the hacking community and DEF CON, bring more media here that would have normally come here, get him focused on the positive aspects of hacking, who we really are and our motivations are, and start to turn the tide of this negative press that we've seen a lot over the last year. So the next time a negative press story does come out, if they've been exposed to enough positive information, they can say, well, I don't believe this is the hacking community as I'm being told. I'm not reading exactly what I'm reading. And if we hope to turn the tide, maybe somewhere down the line that we can get a lot better positive image of this community, or at least make it benign. So what we're going to do is we're going to open this up to any comments that you may have and answer them, address them, and give out the email address where people can all year long just send ideas. And we'll leave this to edge everyone prior to us coming here, and that's all I have to say. Anyone?
I think you were already going to pick apart the
We're not here to we're not here to analyze prior stories or to repeat a lot of the vicious and wrong things that have been said. People, we as a community, we know what they are.
Oh, yeah.
As far as the actual document itself, we're not going to be analyzing stories. Actually, we do have a small section that's devoted to that, pointing out the difference between hackers and crackers and criminals, and which are the majority of the press you're seeing is criminal people. Criminals using high-tech tools. You have a thief using a computer, and by sole virtue of having a computer, he's a hacker. And it's, you know, things that need to be pointed out. There are differences among us. So that will be touched on briefly, but we're not here to dispel every myth that's been put out there so far about us. We need to start from fresh ground on that.
I think that's something else that's really important. Part of the main part of Hack the Life is about is making a real distinction about what hacking is and what hacking isn't. Because a lot of the media and a lot of just common people don't really understand that when you're talking about computer crime, that's not the same thing as saying hacking. MSNBC had a really crappy timeline on hacking a while back. They had child pornography mixed in on a timeline that said this was about hacking. And child pornography obviously had nothing to do with hacking at all. And a lot of different people will just say, well, computer crime, like someone going into a bank and embezzling money using a computer is hacking. That's not hacking. That's just computer crime. And I think we can make a real important distinction about that with the media and with the regular members of society so they can see that just because a computer was involved, like Seven said, it's not hacking, that will make a big difference in the perception and the way that hackers are seen, you know, for the common people.
Public perception of the hacking community is what they see on the television, what they read in the newspapers. Their source of information is the media. The only thing the media have said and have seen are the bad stories, the things that have come out. Because no one has actually taken the time to sit down extensively. There's been smaller efforts, but on a wide-scale effort, no one has really sat down and tried to really concentrate on the positives and do the research and develop a press presentation of everything that we are, where we are. We're showing reality. We're not lying, and we're not trying to scam them. We're showing them reality. This is who we really are, what we're really doing. Here are concrete examples, and that blows the press away because it's a new angle. Believe it or not, it is a new angle. And the press have bit on it this CEF CON. You've seen a real change in the attitudes of the press. This year versus last year.
I have a suggestion for you. When the press goes to write one of these stories, a lot of times, because we're involved in a community that's rather nebulous and really hard to nail down except at an event like this, it might be a good idea for you to talk with your press agent about setting up some sort of a hotline, whether that's a voicemail box or a pager that one says you trade off every week or what, so that when a reporter for some magazine that isn't connected with any individual and can't just call someone they know, can call the Hack the Life hotline or whatever, and get some feedback from this group as a representation of how do we respond to what you're about to write. Let's check that. Well, no, actually, that's not hacking that you're talking about there. That's computer crime. Well, here, let's clarify that. Let me give you the term that actually you want to use there.
We do have a webpage that's dedicated to this that we've circulated among the press. It's not up now and running. It's more of a development for us.
Webpage is one thing. Reporters looking up the phone is
enough. Yeah, that's very much true. Accessibility. I'll bring that up with them. That does make a lot of sense. If you're sending us an email, you don't know if we're ever going to get it or get back to your webpage. If you try to do it, well, I don't know what the address is. Let me type hacking and see how many hits I get. By the time you read 50,000 negative pages, you hit ours.
That up at the other chair of that, I'm sure a lot of you heard about the Commission for Protection of Information Infrastructure that Clinton decided to write executive orders to have the commission. And people are just thinking, oh no, it's the internet police, although you're going to mention on there. The thing that all of us are thinking is like, how are we going to get definitive info there? Because I notice most of the people on there are policymakers, they're not engineers and such. And if you look through there, I notice like a few different ways they can get information from the outside. Everything, of course, gets published to the steering committee, like, you know, four people that Clinton can't pick. But for what it's worth, they'll be hearing information from a couple different sources. On one side, the Internet Protection Task Force, you know, the Justice Department, you know, headed by FBI, is going to be, you know, their information. If you look at the mission statement, it's almost identical to CERT, so if they're smart enough to be talking to CERT. But on the other side, just for topics in general, if there's no active emergency, just saying, what is something, you know, what is this? How does it work, whatever, there's a separate policy panel where there's 10 people from the private sector that they will ask, okay, what is this? And, you know, after we can funnel this information to those people, you know, to the key people who are, like, making the decisions, making the press announcements, and so on. In other words, they'll have a name they can make up, or something that's identifiable. So if a question comes up, and we can provide the information. We've been talking about that. We've been discussing press contacts with people we can talk to, newspapers we can talk to, regular media sources, you know, not just on the Nexus, that's obvious.
Right. Just get a name on everything else, a reporter in major cities.
Yeah.
Right now we already have, we have that somewhat lined up. Most of us have contacts in the media to know to mail us before they write an article if they have questions.
And I've developed a few of those this weekend myself.
I know Seven's got several magazines, several news stations. I've got quite a few magazines. It's a start, you know, considering we haven't even talked about it until now. But we are keeping a list of contacts in the media, different stations, that kind of thing.
And we told them basically 18 months after. It started 6 months ago as an idea process. But we've basically given them 18 months warning that it's coming. So there's a hell of a lot of lead time here. We have not written the document yet. We have a basic outline. It's a rough outline. We didn't really want to start working on it, writing it, until we had a chance to let everyone give their feedback into it.
When a reporter calls in for information, are you going to cue in to put, you know, list your source at the bottom, and it would be the web page that you've got? Like he writes an article, and he pulls the source, and he says, I got it from you.
Yes, that depends on what he's asking or what kind of information he wants.
Every time he dials into it, he gets info and get corrected, and just tell him, hey, list this. So when the other reporters read through it, they'll come back to you too. So
in other words, establishing identity, having a name that becomes through use, becomes recognized, which brings more reporters into it. What's this accolades, whatever it will ultimately be called? Let me check this out.
And make sure you cue me. You know, you're going to write the article.
Yeah, for example, all the television interviews I did, if you want to interview me, you have to provide me a copy of the tape afterwards. You know, when it airs somewhere down the line, you need a copy of the tape. For my personal publicity and for building my credibility at the press, to be able to pull something like this off a year from now. You know, I'm just like some yo-yo here, someone that's been talking about this for quite a while now.
Yeah.
We have... We don't want to become the next EFF. This is the document. This is the things. The sole purpose of the document to begin with. We don't want to generalize the community, and we're never going to nail it all down. As you said, it's very nebulous. But with as much participation as possible, we can pretty much nail it down as accurate as we can for a single source. And sorry, I'm very hard. It hurts to speak now.
I also think it's very important for us to look at the way the government is looking at hacking, and like an Ireland thing.
Okay, what'd you do, DP? As far as it goes.
that's one of the main things we want to try to do is get the government to get a source of information that people are getting about this project. A couple months ago, a lot of you read about articles that were in the paper about the study that GAO released on hacking and some of the results. The Defense Intelligence Systems Agency actually has a group as part of their vulnerability assessment and analysis group. Basically, they're a group of people who go around hacking into Defense Department computers to test security, to basically get some sort of figures about, you know, how safe the computers are. Well, they released this study, and a lot of the media picked up on it. But the thing is, a lot of the statistics, if you look really closely at them, they're kind of misleading, and a lot of papers did basically take them the wrong way. Like, there's one of the things that this claims is that there's an estimated 250,000 attacks, like, on Defense Department computers. But when you look at the way they came to those statistics, they say, well, there's no real way for us to know. Since 1992, though, DEFA attacked 83,000 computers. And, well, while we actually only had 2,000 reported cases this year, we can kind of figure that since a lot of those aren't reported, well, we'll come to figure 250,000. And you see that a lot of the statistics and things like that don't really stick. And a lot of the other information in this is kind of funny, like they have, they say like the Legion of Doom, they're talking about, this is a 1995 document, they're talking about the Legion of Doom being this big force in the hacking community, and Crackers Incorporated, which supposedly is some sort of other group that they're talking about hackers belonging to and stuff like that. And it's just riddled with a lot of misinformation, a lot of just because they don't understand what they're talking to, either because they don't have the education and the people who are writing and researching this, or they just don't basically care enough to look into the facts when it comes to reporting the truth.
Or have access to the information.
Yeah, or have access to the information, which is one of the main reasons we want to try to bring it back to life.
We have a lot of people in the
science
community who are
one of the other things we want to do, kind of along those lines, is if you get any articles that have misleading facts, feel free to mail those. One of the first things we want to do is dispute the facts to the reporter in email and say, you know, look, if you're going to quote statistics, make sure you quote your sources as well. I think the last speech brought that up too, no offense, Syrah. But, you know, these statistics that are being grabbed out of the air are hurting the community pretty bad. So, if any papers want to be written saying, you know, these statistics are a bunch of crap, this is why, this is my sources, this is where I came to the conclusion, feel free to mail those and we can at least incorporate that into the overall project, put them on the web page, and if all else fails, just freaking mail bomb them, the reporter with them. You know, let them know that they're wrong about that. Speak up some. Right, I'm
computer press emergency response.
We are currently doing that pretty much. I know that Seven and I dedicate a lot of time to searching the web and Usenet for articles released, as well as just paper print magazines. Some of the bigger ones I've caught recently was Elmer DeWitt's article in Time about I've been spammed. What was the last one you did? I forgot.
I don't remember. There's sufficient enough garbage that's out there that I put out that I expose to people that I don't even know what to.
But as soon as
it's too much for me to remember what I'm putting out anymore.
As soon as we catch those articles, which we are actively looking for, and that's the other thing, you know, we're all going to miss some of them, and that's why if you see one, and it doesn't matter if I get it 10, 15 times, if you see a bad article or something quoting bullshit statistics, mail it to me, and I'll at least get in touch with the person who wrote it and find out what they're doing, you know, what's their agenda.
We have successfully stopped negative press from coming out before because of the basis of us calling them blindly and just talking to them. If we've been successful somewhere, at least it stopped one or two stories, maybe a snowball into something bigger.
Yeah.
Right, and Elmer DeWitt's article, I've Been Spammed, was a good one, because most of us know there's a difference between spamming and email bombing, that kind of thing. One of the things that we are capable of doing is talking technical with them. Usually they aren't, especially when they're senior technology editors and the like, you know. if they had picked up the $20, you know, jargon Bible, whatever, they would know the difference, but they don't. One of the aspects of the paper is covering technical differences between some of the terminology, difference between hacking and cracking, spamming, bombing, whatever. So hopefully they will have somewhat of a reference so they can at least use the correct terminology. Because if they spit out three terms in their whole paper that has any kind of technical basis, if those three are wrong, well, everyone is now under the impression, well, those are that's the right thing, you know, that's the right terminology when it's not.
An educational document, you know, if you have a reporter walking down the hallway next to you, never been to DEF CON, never reported hacking, gets this first thing off, glance through it, read some of it, they're better educated and better qualified to present their story, and then maybe one of us can get to it, make sure it's a positive aspect out, but they at least know what they're writing about, so they're shooting blindly and playing off all the perceptions.
The fuzzy idea is that if we supply enough reliable actual facts and info for a journalist to look at and think over and, you know, from the front until they hit it, it's far less likely for just something to be made up out of thin air or just go off rumor. Usually most journalists, they have actually, you know, things they can read, people they can talk to, exactly, you know, kind of in quotes, okay. But the problem more likely to go with that than just have a story they heard from there. We need to educate the media to the level they can understand the technology they're trying to report on. And if they have no clue about what they're reporting on, they can't do an accurate story.
So over the next year, you're more than welcome to go ahead and send us an email, the ideas, suggestions. We must get off. We only have 20 minutes. We have to put the institution on.
Find one of us afterwards.
We have plenty of time to ask questions. The email address that you can send your comments to for the next year and interact with us is 7. Which is spelled S-E, the number 7, E-N, 7 replaces the V, at dnamagazine.com. There is a hyphen between DNA and magazine. So 7 at dnamagazine.com.
One other thing.
In which everyone here will then receive copies of everything that gets posted there.
Also, the tie-in to this, stick around for the talk about the institution. Edison and the presidents are going to be talking about it. It ends up that our topics are basically the same idea. We're focusing on the media. They're focusing more toward the individuals in the scene, so they tie directly in. Anyway.